Lead the congregation in reading the Shepherd Psalm 80. This is the word that is recorded. Hear us, Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim shining forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You've fed them with the bread of tears. You've made them drink tears by the bowlful. You've made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with his shade, the mighty cedars with his branches. His branches reached as far as the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. The root of your right hand has planted the sun that you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It's burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the Son of Man, you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Joanne, in the children's message, encouraged you to come and look at the Sunday school kids' depictions of the shepherd. There's a lot of other art in this sanctuary as well, and over Advent, we have embarked on a series that looked at these strong images of the coming one and have been reflecting on that, and members of the congregation have been making artistic depictions of those images, and they're all around. So when the service is over and before you head out to your vehicles, come on in and just take a look and reflect on what the congregation has produced as a way to help us to focus on Jesus in this time of Advent. The series that we're in has been guided by the lectionary. Now, the lectionary is not something that in our tradition that we have made a lot of use of. What it is a selection of scripture passages for every Sunday that churches all around the world use to shape their worship and their reflection on the Word. So, for these four Sundays, we have been looking at things that the church far and wide are also looking at, and that has made it an interesting series. One of the things about lectionary preaching is it directs you to passages of Scripture that maybe you wouldn't have looked at before. You wouldn't tend to go to these passages, but the lectionary directs you to it and says, do something with this. You know, understand this, figure it out, and explain it to the people of God. Sometimes that gives you curveballs. And I think, in a way, this is a curveball passage. Some, a couple of the other ones in this Advent series have also been that. If I was asked, someone said, Pastor Bruce, I'd really appreciate it if you would preach a sermon on Jesus being our shepherd. I'd say, well, that's a good idea. That's an important theme, an important motif in Scripture. And I'd be delighted to do that. So what'll I do? I know. I'm going to go to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's so beautiful, it's so familiar, it's so loved that I'm going to unpack that again and have us think about what it means that Jesus is our shepherd based on that psalm. I might have gone to one of the prophets where it talks about the true shepherd and false shepherds and how to understand who is true and who is false. And when we know the truth, we can follow Jesus as he is our true and good shepherd. I doubt that I would have gone to Psalm 80. Psalm 80 is a psalm of lament. It's a psalm of tears. It's a psalm of crying out in brokenness, sadness, confusion. Why, 2 days before Christmas, would we talk about the shepherd in the context of a psalm of lament? Well, I wouldn't have done it without the lectionary, but this week I thought, I am really glad that the lectionary led me to Psalm 80. What I realized is that truth that I knew and that you know, and no one is surprised to hear me say that the Lord is our shepherd. We say, yes, we were very familiar with that. But what I learned and what I came to understand was that sheep don't always like their shepherds. Now, we have a pretty skewed idea about shepherds. Joanne, in talking to the kids, and I hope you were listening carefully because there was a lot of really deep wisdom in her simple words to the kids. Most of us think of shepherds on the basis of beautiful little pictures like these. With the shepherd with his sheep draped over his shoulders, carrying this poor little thing, or the shepherd looking tenderly into the eyes of the sheep. They're all such pretty little pictures, so gentle and kind. But the shepherd came with a stick. A stick that had a hook on the end. And Bren, you can leave this picture up for a while. This stick was more than a walking stick. I used to think that when I was little. I would sometimes see people that were, especially old people, would walk with a cane or with a walking stick, and thought, okay, that's what shepherds did, and they just happened to have these that had this little curly-cue thing on the end. But it was much more than that. The shepherd's staff was also a club, something that was used by the shepherd to beat off the threats to the sheep. Joanne said that he also had a rod. Now, that was news to me. I had always heard that the shepherd's staff functioned as that rod and that he would use it to protect the sheep because if there were... you remember King David when he was talking about could he indeed face Goliath? And he said, hey, I'm a shepherd. I've fought off the lion and the bear and all kinds of mean things. Dangerous, big, strong critters. If I can do that, surely this fellow, this Philistine, is going to be nothing compared to what I've already faced. The stick, the shepherd's staff, was also a tool to force the sheep to do what the shepherd wanted. The sheep weren't obeying. The sheep were wandering away. He'd take that stick and he'd have that handy little hook on the end of it so that he could reach in and put it around his body, around his neck, and give it a jerk and say, "Listen, Buster, that you're not going that way. You're going this way. We're going that way, and so are you." And use the stick. And sometimes, I know that, you know, corporal punishment, you know, we're not supposed to hit our own kids anymore, but the fact of the matter was that once in a while, the shepherd would use the stick to give the sheep a whack on the bum and say, "Hey, smarten up, you over there, and listen and be a good sheep." Well, Psalm 80 is the voice of the sheep who have been feeling the business end of the staff. This is the voice of sheep who are upset with their shepherd. And they even seem to think that the shepherd has actually changed from being, you know, the guy with the sheep on his shoulders, the guy looking tenderly into his eyes, to being an angry and stern and corrective person in their lives. Do you remember, the sheep say, do you remember the good old days? The good old days when the shepherd would just lead us to pastures and there'd be grass and there'd be water and there'd be shelter. That good old shepherd, he was so nice back then. Do you remember that shepherd, our good old shepherd? These threats would come. There were the wild animals and the other threats, and he'd be there like a Superman for us. And he would protect us, and that staff would be used against our enemies, and he kept us safe. Oh, we loved that shepherd. Whenever there was any kind of danger, any kind of threat to our health or our wellness or our happiness, that shepherd was there and he would always save us. He'd always have the answer. He'd always be the good shepherd for us. But that shepherd is not that shepherd today. That shepherd is an angry shepherd. And we know why. The answer as to why the shepherd is angry is pretty clear. The sheep had decided that they didn't want to belong to that shepherd anymore. The sheep looked around and they saw, well, there's our shepherd, this fellow. But over there, there's another shepherd. And over there, there's another shepherd. And I think that those sheep are having a lot more fun. I think those sheep don't have as many rules as we do. And we have decided that we are going to not follow this shepherd. We don't want to listen to him. He says, go this way. And we're going to say, we're going that way. He says, stay together. We're going to scatter. We're just going to do whatever we want. As sheep, we want the freedom to be horrible to each other. We want the right, and we claim the right as sheep, that we are going to be abusive to some of our fellow sheep, and we're going to be unkind to some of our fellow sheep, and we're going to damage some of our other sheep, and if the shepherd doesn't like it, well, too bad for that shepherd, because we don't see him as our shepherd anymore. We don't acknowledge him as such. And that's what happened in the people of Israel. They looked at the nations around. They looked at the other gods that the nations followed, and they thought, that looks more fun. That looks sexier. That looks more cool. And our God just seems old-fashioned and boring and rules and all this stuff. And, you know, we don't want that. We want to be like everybody else, like all these other flocks. And what the shepherd said was to his sheep, if that's the way you want it, then I'm going to let you have it. And the shepherd turned and walked away. He says, you sheep, you don't want to be my flock. You don't want to be under my care, under my guidance. Okay, let's see how that works for you. And the shepherd turned around and he walked away from his flock. And for a while, the sheep were exulting. Hooray! We're free from that nasty old shepherd with his shepherd staff that was pulling us and pushing us and disciplining us and correcting us. Now we're free. No one to bother us anymore. But they found out very quickly that not having that shepherd as your shepherd wasn't all that much fun either. I mean, what happened was this flock that had been unified, that had been kept together, that was blessed by the care and love and concern of the shepherd, got broken down with all kinds of internal dysfunctions, with all kinds of attacks internally and unhappiness within. And they started seeing that the predators were coming. People from outside were coming and taking shots at them and hurting them and enslaving them and abusing them. Suddenly the flock realized how vulnerable they were without the care and the oversight of their shepherd. And so the cry of the flock rises up. This is Psalm 80. Psalm 80 is the cry of a flock that has wandered away, that thought they didn't need the Lord, that didn't need to be under the care of the shepherd, and realizing, oh boy, what have we done? We have lost everything by losing the shepherd. And they cry out, please, shepherd, please come back. Please be our shepherd again. Please show yourself to be that faithful one for us. Care for us. Guide us. Keep us safe. Bring us to safe pasture. Bring us to sanctuary. And isn't that the cry of the church in Advent? God, send to us the one of your choosing. Send to us the one who is at your right hand. Send to us the one who will care for us, who will protect us, who will defend us, who will see to it that we come to that safe haven where we can grow and flourish and have peace. We ask the Lord in Advent to let Jesus again be our shepherd so that we will be revived, so that we will be renewed, so that we follow, so that we again call on the name of the Lord that we might be saved. And never again may we call on the names of all the false shepherds that covet us. What's clear is that when this great and coming one arrives, it will mark the reversal of all things. The power structures in the world are turned upside down when the shepherd returns to his flock. Those who are the least among us, those who are among the least in the world, are not only set free from their trouble and their persecution, they are put on top so that they never will be humiliated again. And this is the promise. This is the great hope. The first will be last. The last will be first. The poor will be lifted high. And those who have no hope are given the hope of eternal life and eternal blessing. In Psalm 80, the arrival of the promised one, the one at the right hand of God, is critical to the hope of the flock. If he comes, there is freedom from tears, freedom from bitterness, freedom from despair. And if he does not come, if he does not come to you, if he does not become your shepherd, then there is only bondage with no hope of release. If he comes to you, and if he comes to us, there is the restoration of order and there is the return of justice and all of its glorious dimensions into our lives and into the world. And if he does not come, if he does not come for you, if he does not come into your heart, into your life, if you are not returned as a member of the true flock of God, then there is abuse. The abuse of power, and evil people use that power to spread their brokenness to society and in your life with all the ugliness of that entails. If he comes, and if he is your shepherd, and you are brought into the flock that is the flock of Jesus, then people receive justice. Justice that is beyond our imagining, that is beyond our achieving. And the creation itself, because of our shepherd, finds the blessedness of peace. Shalom. But if he does not come, our psalm teaches us, and the gospel says, the evil get richer and are rewarded for their evil deeds. The righteous, the good, those that long for justice, become poorer and even more victimized, are indeed punished for their dignified obedience. And therefore, the sheep cry out for their true shepherd. And so the people of God cry out for their true Messiah, for their Savior, for their hope, for their meaning. Jesus came to be our shepherd. In 2 days, we are going to gather here again at 10 o'clock so that we can celebrate the fact that Jesus is the answer to the question of every person's longing heart. How will this sad world be made right again? He says, I am on that. Jesus came so that there could be hope in the world. And we are going to celebrate that. We also are a church that says, and we know that he is coming again. And we look forward to the day when he makes his appearing. When the dead rise and see their Savior, where the saints who've gone before return, and we are together praising God in a renewed earth where all sin, where all brokenness, where all ugliness, all disease has been taken away. And we are the flock of God, cared for by the shepherd, watched over in faithfulness and love, and we obey our shepherd in every way. If he did not come, all would be lost. But he has come. The prophecies have been fulfilled and are in the process of being fulfilled. And so the answer to the yearning cries of God's people through the centuries is being answered in Christ. Thanks be to God. We, as a people, have reason to say, thanks be to God for our shepherd. If he had not come, all we would have is lament. But now we see that the answer to our lament is joy. That when people were feeling in despair, the answer is hope. A confident hope. A living hope. Throughout Advent, and in all of our worship times, we have seen that our Messiah is the righteous branch, that he is the horn of salvation, that he is the mighty warrior, and he is the true shepherd. Let us get ready so that we can celebrate his coming in a couple of days and give him glory that is fitting and that is right. You pray with me, please. Thank you, Jesus, for being our true shepherd. Thank you for loving us, even though so often we have done things that show our rebellion and our pig-headedness. And yet, you hear our cries. You come back. And we thank you for that. We ask that we are given the empowerment through the Holy Spirit to be people that turn away from you less often. People that need that crooked end of your stick to pull us back. We just want to be obedient. We want to laugh. We want to experience the joy of our salvation and put smiles on your face. Thank you for being our true shepherd. Amen.